All right, Dana, the big question. What are you giving up for Lent?
Great question. I actually traditionally do not give up anything for Lent.
Yes?
As you know, I grew up in the church, and I grew up in the church, but we never really gave anything up. And it's interesting because it's a common question as we get ready to enter this time period. And I never really kind of understood, like, why do people ask this? And what's it all about? And we never gave anything up for Lent. And then when I became a young adult, and I have this amazing spiritual mentor, you know, Reverend Dr. Faith, she really kind of changed my view or my theology on this a little bit, and that is that sometimes we don't have to give something up for Lent. Sometimes we need to add something to our lives. And so what I have done actually is tended to add something to my life so that I can use this time as reflection, intentional reflection, and to build, deepen, and strengthen my relationship with God. Not that I'm not doing that all the time or trying to do that all the time, but I really try to actively engage in learning and self-discovery during this time. So I actually tend to add a study. I try to add some kind of meditation, usually connected with the Lenten theme. What about you?
Yeah, I have given stuff up. It started when I first started learning about Lent, because I kind of learned about Lent later in life, too. It was like give up chocolate, give up caffeine type of experience, which definitely was a great introduction. And then I started thinking, it's along the similar lines, like, well, what is standing in my way of my relationship with God? And I always claim, you know, like, oh, I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to do the devotional. But I sure the hell have time to get on Facebook.
Yes.
And I always am finding time to binge whatever Netflix show. And so I tend to give up those kind of time-consuming things to make space for opportunity to be quiet or, like you said, do a study or devotional. But it's really to get rid of some of that stuff that is standing in my way of my relationship with God.
So we really ultimately came to the same conclusion, just in different ways. So I love that. So today, we are actually going to talk about Ash Wednesday.
Right.
So what does this conversation have to do with Ash Wednesday? Well, if you stay tuned, we are going to start this journey for you, and we're looking forward to our conversation.
At this table, there is no fear. You are not erased. At this table, you're welcome here. You are not erased. You will find your place.
Okay, so here we are. We are going to spend today talking about Ash Wednesday. That's going to be our theme. And first, we want to let people know that this is a three-part journey. So today's part is on Ash Wednesday. Our part two is going to be on Lent. We'll dive deeper into that in a couple of weeks, and then finally we'll end with Easter. So this is a journey. This is a 5 or 6 week journey. You just got to sit down, buckle up, as Brené Brown would say, and get ready.
Yeah, and they're all connected to each other. I mean, really, Ash Wednesday is the start of the journey, and so that's what we'll talk about today. But they really kind of bleed into each other, as we'll see as we go through the series.
And our first kind of topic, or what we're going to talk about, is acknowledging and starting that change.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be what we'll talk about too. Let's first say Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, I know growing up as a kid, we did not, I don't remember getting ashes placed on my forehead, but I remember seeing a lot of my Catholic brothers and sisters having it on their forehead, and I was like, wow, what's going on with that?
I know. I think the first time I saw it, I'm like, what, dirt on your forehead? Like, what's going on? I had no idea.
Right.
Yeah. Do you need a tissue? And then it grew into, like, I was almost jealous. Like, I was almost like, I don't have my ashes.
Right.
And so, it's as I've learned more about Ash Wednesday and now really practice the service that I go to the service of Ash Wednesday, it's become a beautiful moment to pause and recognize the limitations and the realities of being human. You know,
right.
That it is, we have a finite life, that we have our days are numbered. It's important to remember that.
It's important to remember. It's actually interesting. It is not in the Bible.
Right.
So Ash Wednesday, it's not like you're going to open your Bible and be like, where's the Ash Wednesday passage? No, it's not there.
We do see ashes a lot in the Bible as, you know, as mortality and death, and it represents a symbol a lot in the Bible. Yeah.
But not the actual day. It actually came into practice in the 11th century.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that as humans, we've created this.
Right.
And for the Methodist Church, it was...
Like the 90s became a canon of book of worship, so it's not... You know, this ancient type of thing that it's rather recent in our denomination.
And you've already mentioned that, but yet what we do see in the Bible in a variety of places is ashes and the importance of ashes and the impermeance,
mm-hmm.
of not just life. I would argue everything in our life that there are, and that's what we're going to really talk about is that sometimes things need to die. In order for us to come out of the ashes, almost like the phoenix rising out of the ashes.
Yeah, we think of death as like the ultimate, you know, the end of life, which our culture does such an awful job of talking about and recognizing. But there's also like these little deaths that happen as we go through life, you know, the death of a relationship or a job or bad habits or whatever it is. There are little deaths that are happening as we move through life. And so that's part of what we're going to talk about today as well.
Yeah. Of course, there's always that infamous biblical verse, you know, from ash we're created, from dust we're created, to dust we return.
Right, and when you're getting the ashes on your forehead, the minister or whoever's doing your blessing will say that. And it's, you know, it's kind of hard to grapple with that. I've done that to people who have just seen tears in their eyes as they recognize the limits of humanity, that, you know, there is a time where we will no longer be in our bodies. Yeah, so...
Okay. So for our story today, we're going to talk about the story of Nicodemus, mm-hmm. a guy named Nicodemus. And let's just get going with who is this guy named Nicodemus? And we're going to connect with why his story it really, really flows into this idea with Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, so Nicodemus was you'll see the word Pharisee a lot in the Bible, and it's really a prominent Jewish leader, so he was high up in the synagogue, ranks of the synagogue, and so he's the guy that had all the answers when it came to religious life, and he's an older gentleman, and so one night, deep in the night, seeks out Jesus. He has seen Jesus, you know, doing some pretty amazing things, and thinks this can only be God, this can only come from God, so he must have the answers.
Yeah.
So he finds Jesus, and he asks him some pretty big questions about change and new life, and even though you're old and set in your ways, how can this be different? How can this look different? And so it's a really powerful story. Nicodemus is a really interesting character in that way, that he is in that this is the water he swam in his whole life, that he's the one with the answers. And now he's here vulnerably seeking answers.
Yeah, and I think whenever you and I have these conversations, we always think like, what was it like to be Nicodemus?
Yeah.
Like, we always try to put ourselves in his position. And, you know, I know for me, there are definitely moments where I feel like I should know everything. I feel like, you know, but yet I know I'm struggling in some area. And so secretly, I've got to figure out, how do I take that step to figure it out? What is that step for me? So I get that. I mean, he's coming in darkness.
Right.
He doesn't want people to know, but yet he needs to know. Like, there's something he's searching for.
And we just talked about if I was in Nicodemus' shoes, I probably have been struggling with these questions for a long time.
Yeah.
And maybe I talked to my other, you know, friends about it, who are supposedly having the answers too, but maybe they just reiterate the same things, you know, and there's something missing. There's still some holes that you're able to poke in it. And so, I've had that experience talking to other clergy friends, and we're just going to reiterate the same answers that we've always given. Not leaving too much room for questioning and doubting and wrestling.
Or at the same time, it could also be you're talking with people that you trust and maybe that have the same position as you, and their answers just aren't satisfying. Like, they're still like, I'm not sure, or they're just reinforcing something that's, as you said, not where you want to go.
Right.
And so he does this in the darkness because he's scared.
Yeah.
But he takes a courageous step.
Yeah.
By saying, I know there's something I need to figure out. I'm going to do it. Even though it's in the darkness, I'm going to do this.
I'm going to take a step forward to figure it out.
Yeah. So he gets with Jesus, and I think this is the second really important thing, is that he's basically saying, I'm old. How can I really learn new things? How can I see things with fresh, new eyes?
Yeah.
Is this even possible? I don't understand it. And yet it is.
You know, I'm 37, and I feel like that sometimes.
Yes.
I have to say, like, I feel like, oh my gosh, this is the way I do it. This is the way I'm going to do it. And, I just am stuck in my way so often.
Well, and sometimes it's easier, right? Sometimes, so that's even another point. It's like, sometimes it's just easy to say, this is the way we do it. This is good. It's working for me. I'm fine. I'm not going to push against anything. It takes a lot of courage, and because there's a messiness. We'll talk about a messiness and the uncomfortable space of where you've got to go to.
Yeah. So it reminds me of, I lead a small group talking about racism in light of George Floyd last year. And we were reading some pretty heavy books about racism and white privilege and white supremacy. And my class is made up of 70, 80, 90-year-olds mm-hmm. that are asking these, that have been awakened to some realities that they maybe didn't recognize earlier. And they're really seeking, how can I be different? How can I, like, make a difference? And it gives me so much hope and so much, it convicts me a little bit, to be honest, that if these 90-year-olds are seeking change and understanding, it's a lifelong process.
It is a lifelong process. And I think that's, there was a reflection or commentary by Reverend Will Willimon, and he uses this passage, and he basically says, you're never too old. We should be asking ourselves, this question all the time through our entire life. We should always be saying, what do I need to learn? What do I need to change? How can I see this new?
But you're right. There's an uncomfortability that comes with it, because when you ask those questions, when Nicodemus came to ask those questions, he wasn't sure what Jesus was going to say.
No.
And we're not always, we don't know what it's going to open us to asking some of these questions. There is a level of comfortability you have to have with being uncomfortable. You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable when you try to dive into this water of how can life look different? How can I be different? How can I show up different in this world?
And that really connects us back to what does this have to do with Ash Wednesday? And I think it's because for us, what we're inviting people to engage in this first part is just acknowledge and ask that question. And maybe even, do you want to have that conversation with yourself? And that's really the first step of maybe something does have to die. What is not serving you in your life? What do you maybe have to get rid of?
And I think you hit on something too. It's there has to be an honesty before any of that happens. Are you even ready to open yourself up?
Yeah.
And maybe the answer is no right now. And it's not like you have to wait till next Ash Wednesday to ask it again. But there is an honesty that has to happen, that are you even ready to go deep in those questions? Because like we said, it is a messy journey, and you come out on the other side, for sure.
You do.
But it's not always this beautiful, straight line type of journey.
No, it's not. And so that gets us into also intentionality. And this is a word, I love this word, I use it a lot, but it is an abstract word. And what does it even mean? How do I be intentional? And so I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about, how do people make this concrete for them? Like, because this is an intentional process for sure.
Right. So the first step, to be honest with yourself. Is it something I even want to engage in at this point? Do I have the capacity? Do I have the time? Do I have the energy? Because it asks something of you to be in this process. And then I think it takes some planning. You know, for me, I'm a big planner.
Yes.
But I think that it does, and anything we want to do in our lives, we have to plan, right? You know, vacation or to go to the gym or stop at, it's planning. And so for me, I take it maybe even a step further, but I'm like, okay, here's step-by-step process of what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it.
Your calendar color-coded with
you. That's right, I do. Let my husband know you're going to watch the kids for this chunk of time, so I can go in the room and close the door and be by myself and really just spend some time in reflection. And maybe I have some questions, maybe I have a blank page of journal where I can just write down whatever comes to mind. But for me, it really is this plan process.
And I think it looks different for everybody. But I do think you're right. Like, I also plan it, because if I don't plan it, it's just not going to happen. I have to plan things in order for anything to happen, frankly. So, and I realize that for some people, it might be having quiet time alone. Some people, it may be confiding in somebody that they care about, that they trust, and starting to engage in that conversation. And it maybe it's both.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm an introverted person, so I love silence and solitude. But I also need you to have conversations with and community and people I trust and love to kind of have both and. So I can be quiet by myself and I can be in relationship with other people.
And it's hard. We're having this conversation. I think it's challenging because we really are saying, what is not serving you in your life? What's like, what does that mean? What does that even look like? I think that's hard for some people.
Yeah. For me, we talk about this. We kind of disagree on this. I kind of think if you do make space and time to ask this question, I tend to think that something's going to rise to the top. I tend to think that we know. And really, I think it's like, what is breaking connection? What's breaking relationship with yourself, with God, with the world, with your loved ones? I think we know.
Yeah, and I ebb and flow with this. Like I want to believe that we know, but sometimes I do think unconsciously it's buried deep for whatever reason. I mean, call it, whatever it is. And so I don't know if everybody knows that. And I certainly don't know how to encourage them to figure it out. I do think, to your point, when you decide to be in quiet reflection with yourself and ask some really serious questions, and you're intentional about it, and you commit to that intentionality, you commit to knowing that it may not be comfortable, then you can maybe figure something out.
And here's what I'll say. Maybe there are multiple things.
Yeah.
And maybe what rises to the top is the easiest thing. Maybe it's something that you can actually do. Maybe it is, I do watch Netflix a lot. And maybe that is what rises to the top. Start there. You don't have to dive into like everyday therapy sessions to like figure out what's best for lunch.
Right, exactly.
I think that it's like, you start with where you are too. I mean, there's intentionality for sure, but it's not, it doesn't have to be as complex. It can just be start where you are.
Thank you for giving me that permission. I needed that validation.
We all do. I mean, it is just, we don't have to overcomplicate it too. I think what is most important is that you set the intention.
Right.
And then you make a plan to follow through and you give yourself some grace, that you're okay if you eat the chocolate or watch the Netflix or whatever it is that you do. To hold yourself the way God would hold you, with grace and love anyway.
I love that, and I appreciate that. So I think that's what we'll let people start with right now. It's just, one, I love asking yourself, do you want to do this? Mm-hmm. And being honest about it. The answer may be no. It's okay. It's not good or bad. It just is, yeah, right? And then if you do, now what do I do with that? And planning, I think, is the first step. We'll provide a resource online that provides suggestions and ideas of how you can literally plan this out. Maybe you already have an idea, and certainly we want to encourage you to do that. And then we'll have questions. And one of them is, what is not serving you? What is holding you back from connection with yourself, with others, with God?
And then maybe the other question is, what can I realistically do? Because it has to make sense for your life. This is not a one day fasting. This is 6 weeks, which is a ton of time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what is a realistic thing you can do? And again, the reminder, start where you are, wherever you are is good. And so just pick that up from there.
Yeah. I like this idea of just, be realistic.
Yeah.
It may not be something you can even engage in every day. And so, be realistic with yourself. Be give yourself grace, as you said. Okay, so we'll have those resources available on the website. We'll come back in a couple of weeks to just dig deeper, see where everybody is. We'll talk through this. What does it mean? Because now we'll be in Lent.
Yeah, we'll be right in the middle.
And Lent is really a time of, as we're going to go into contemplation and then action.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that will take us. We'll leave it at that.
If you'd like to follow us, follow us on social media at The Collective Table. You can
our podcast.
Yep, subscribe to our podcast and YouTube. We want to remind you that there's a meditation from Erica and new music from Mystic Mercy, art by Jennifer Jones. We'll also have a resource for families and a book suggestion if you're interested in diving a little bit deeper. But all of that can be found on our website at thecollectivetable.org. So we invite you to that. I think one more thing we wanted to offer this time around was, if you're looking to do a little bit more of a deeper conversation, if you're really wanting to figure out how you might participate in Lent but would like to have a further conversation, Dana and I would love to either together or separately have a conversation with you. So please reach out to us. We love to talk about this, and so we would love to talk with you about it. So we just look forward to continuing the journey with you, whether it's one-on-one or at our next episode.
And you can find it, you can reach out to us at info@thecollectivetable.org. That's the email, info@thecollectivetable.org. Thanks for joining us. We can't wait to talk to you in a couple of weeks.
For the entire virtual collective package, including the video version of this episode, music from Mystic Mercy, art by Jennifer Jones, meditations with Erica Gibson, book suggestions, and other resources, visit thecollectivetable.org. The Collective Table is supported by San Diego United Methodist Church in Encinitas, California. The original music you heard was created and performed by Mystic Mercy. This episode was recorded and edited by Stephen Hale. If you'd like to financially support the work of The Collective Table, please visit thecollectivetable.org.